Ezras Hashem Yisbarech, we begin Daf Mem Aleph in Maseches Brachos, the 40th Daf in Shas. We pick up from 10 lines on the bottom of Mem Amid Beis. The Mishnah told us that on a mysterious thing called Noivlos, the Bracha is Shahakol. What exactly are these Noivlos? My Noivlos, what are they? Reb Zera Rabbi Loi, Chadomer Bushle Kimra, they have been burnt by the sun, Rashi explains. V'chadomer tamra dezika. And others say there are dates that fell off in the wind. There's a big discussion in the Achronim, it's kedai to be medayik as well, in Rashi, whether they were burnt and fell off before they had become ripe or not. Take a look at the Taz, who has a long arichus in this, in Simon Reish Dalet, Siv Gimel, if I'm not mistaken. Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, koshu min klala eim evarchin alav. Rabbi Yehuda said, anything that is a product of a curse doesn't get a bracha. Rabbi Yehuda seemed to be referring to Novlos. Now let's analyze. Could Novlos be a klala? Bishle manar bushle kimra handakar le min klala. If it was burnt by the sun, so then in such a case it should be called a klala. Elo leman damer tam dizika may min klala. What, in what way was it a curse? The Taz points out, now, if it fell off before it was ripe, then doesn't that make it a curse? See, from here, we'll go with this Raya to say that it really was ripe when it was blown off from the tree. Answers the Gemara, Asha'ara. When it said it's a min klala, we're talking about the rest of the cases. In other words, the Mishnah had mentioned vinegar, that's where wine had gone bad. So all those cases are the cases of klala. Others say, Bishle Mandar Bushle Kimra Hainu Dvarchinla Shahakol. I understand when it was burnt by the sun, it gets a shakol. El Mandar Timri Ziko Shahakol, Bori Prehades Mi Boile Bruche. Why does it even get a shahakol? It wasn't damaged by the sun. It should get a Bori Prehades. Ella answers the Gemara, Benovlos Stama Kule Amalo Pligi de Bushle Kamarino. When we talk about Novlos in general, we're talking about something that's burnt by the sun. And in such a case, that would get a shahakol. Keep leaving the novelos tomorrow. What we're arguing about is what happens if they're dates. The snan, as we learned in the Mishnah in Demai, the snan, as we learned in the Mishnah in regards to the instances where one could be makil on Demai. Demai is a suffek midrabanan by Amea Oretz, whether they took off Trumos and Maestris. Hakalin Shebedemai. These are the cases that you could be lenient. Hashisin Varimin Vozradin Binoshuach Ubinoshikma Vigufnin Vinifta Vinovlos tomorrow. The Gemara will explain what some of these are. Shisin, what are Shisin? Amarava Barbachana Rabbi Yochanan Minte Einim. It's a type of fig. Rimin, what are Rimin? Candy, which means a fruit that's very similar to a date. Who's Rodin? Tulshe. A fruit that's very similar to a small apple. Benoy Shuach. What are Benoy Shuach? Amar Rabba Barachana, Rabbi Yochanan. Te'enei Chivirasa. Figs that are white, that are not so good. Chivirasa means white. Not very healthy. Beno shikma, Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, duvle, the types of figs from a sycamore tree. Gufnin, shile gufne, grapes that grow at the end of the summer that never become entirely ripe. Nitzpa is a pircha, a type of flower. And it's the flower that we've discussed from a tzlaf. A tzlaf we had previously on Daf Lamid Vav. Noivlois Tamara, what is that? Here we have the machlokis. Rabbi Lov, Rabbi Zera. Chad Omar Bushle Kamra. Some say, one of them says that it is the dates that have been burnt in the sun. Chad Omar Tamar Dezika. And one of them says that it's the one that fell off in the wind. So here we see that the machlokis that we have is specifically in regards to novlos of a tamara. Now the Gemara analyzes. Bishlem lemanda amar bushla kamra. According to the manda amar that says that it was cooked early and burnt by the sun, that's a novlos tova are. That's why it's listed as one of the leniency of demai. Shesveikon hu de potur, that the suffix of it is potur. In other words, if it's demai, you could be mekel if you have a suffix. Havadon, but if it's a vaday, that it trumas the maestros were not taking off. So in such a case, chayiv, then you would be chayiv. Elamad amar tumer de zika. But if we're going to say that it was knocked off by the wind, vadon chayiv, if it's you're sure that maestros had not been taken off, it's going to be chayiv. Why? Hefkeira ninu. It's hefker because it's been knocked off by the wind. Answers the Gemara, Maiskin and Shason Goron. Over here, talking about a case where a person had made these dates into a pile after it had fallen off. He had collected them again. Hence, they weren't hefker. Damar Yitzchak, Rav Yochum, Shimon, Blazam, Yaakov, Halekhet, Vashicha, Vapeh, Shason, Garon, Bukful, Meiser. They could become chayiv in Meiser. Iga Damri, others analyzed the sugya. Bishleim, Leman, Damar, Tamar, Dezika. Makes sense according to Man Damar, who says that what we're talking about is the dates that have fallen off in the wind. Hainu dehacha karlo novlo stama. And therefore, when it came to the beginning of the sugya, we had described the novlos as stam novlos, not novlos betemra, a slightly different type of fruit. Vahasam karlo tamra. However, over there by demai, it's referred specifically of the tamar. Elamad amar bishule kamra nisni. But we're talking about it was burnt in the sun. Nisni idi v'idi novlos tamara. Oh, idi v'idi novlos stama. Then there's no reason to differentiate between the two. Says the Gemara, kasha. That is a strong kasha. In other words, according to the Manda Amar that says that our Mishnah is talking about, this Rashi spells out on the top of the Yomud, that our Mishnah is talking about Bushle Kamra, and the case of Demai is talking about Novlos of Tamri, so then in such a case, of Tamra Dezika, so then in such a case, there is reason for us to differentiate between the two, that one is called Novlos, and the other is called Novlos of Tamra. However, if we're going to say that both Mishnayos are talking about the same type of case, so then, and both are talking about Bushel de Kamra, so then we have a question, why did the Mishnayis use different expressions? One call them Novlos, and the other Novlos de Timra. The Gemara continues, 5 lines from the top, Amim Aleph, Amim Aleph. In our Mishnah, we had learned a machlokis between the Tanakama, which was Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim. If you have many different types of fruits in front of you, what type of order does one need to make the bracha? Rabbi Yehuda says that it's important first to take into account whether they come from the Shiva Minim, while the Chachamim say you can make a bracha on anyone you want first. The Chacham's choice is also referred to by Chazal as Chaviv Adif, whatever is more beloved to you. The assumption being, the one that you want more, you're going to eat first. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula, 5 lines from the top, Machlokes b'shebirchar sehem shavos. This whole machlokes is only in a case of where you have two items whose bracha is the same. Rashi's example is 3 lines from the top. If you have olives and apples, and there you have a choice of which one to say first. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you choose Erezeh Shemon. You choose the olives, min shiva adif. Rabbanan savri min chaviv adif. And Rabbanan say, no, if you like the apples more, you can make the bracha on the apples first. Aval b'shein bircha sein shavas. But if the bracha is not the same, divrei akam mevarech al zeh, v'chozem mevarech al zeh. Then in such a case, you have to make a bracha on each one. And Tosis explains that according to Rashi, what would emerge is that Rabbi Yehuda would say, no longer give you priority of one over the other. The chidush of Rabbi Yehuda, the min shadif, is if you're making a eitz, make a eitz on the min shiva and not on the apple. But once you've got two different brachos, let's say, and this is only in the Havamina of the Gemara, let's say ha eitz and ha adama, so then you could choose which one you would like to make the bracha first, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's how Rashi learns Ula's statement. The Gemara says, Meisive, I have the following question. How you the fun of Tznon Vizayis? If he has a radish and an olive in front of him, Mevarech ala Tznon, he makes a Bari Priya Dhamma on the radish, Upaiter es hazayis, and thereby exempts the olive. Why? Because the Bari Priya Dhamma, Bidi'eved, could be used to be motzi ha'eitz. So what do we see? We see that you don't say that kishein ber chosein shavin divrei hakol mevarech al zeh v'chozer mevarech al zeh. You'll be make one bracha on both of them. Answers the Gemara. Hakamai skin. No. In our case, we're talking kishetznon ikar, that the primary is a radish. Hence, the bracha would go on both of them. Asks the Gemara, Ihachiyem Sefer, what about the Sefer? Rav Yehuda Omer Mevarech al Azayis, Shazayis Mimin Shiva. At the end of that brisa, Rav Yehuda disagrees with the Chachamim and says, no, you don't make a bracha on the radish, but rather you make a separate bracha on the Zayis. Asks the Gemara, according to your Pshat, Lesley the Rav Yehuda, how does Rav Yehuda reject a rule, a very important rule that we're going to have later on in Daf Mem Dalet, does he reject the rule of Iker and Tafel? And if you're going to say yes, he rejects it. Rabbi Yehuda really holds that if the Tznon is the Iker, you make the bracha on the Tznon and thereby exempt the Zayis. So what exactly is the tziur, is the case of the brisa? Says the Gemara, la'olam b'tznon ikraskin. And really, the brisa is talking about where the radish is the primary. Hence, Rabbi Yehuda normally would agree that making a bracha on the tznon should be poter the zayis. V'chi pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'rabbanan, but Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan are disagreeing b'milsa achrisi in a different case. Milsa achrisi pligi. V'chi surei mechzer, and there was something missing in the brisa, in the above brisa that we saw, 9 lines from the top that began in the beginning of the line, Hayu lefan of tznon v'zayis, we have to restructure it entirely. Hayu lefan of tznon v'zayis, if he had a radish and an olive in front of him, mevarech ala tznon upoter es hazayis, he makes a bracha on the radish, according to Chachamim, and thereby exempts the olive, b'medvar mamur mekishat tznon ikar. That is only in a case of where the radish is the ikur. Aval einat snon ikur, divrei hakol mevarech alzeh lechozer umevarech alzeh. But where the radish is not the ikur, so then everybody agrees that he makes two brachos. And the brisa continues and repeats what we had learned on our Mishnah Mem Amabez. Ushnei minin ba'alma. But if you have two general species where there isn't one that is the tafel, Shabir Chosei and Shavos, Mevarech Alezish and Sheyirtze, he could choose which one he makes the brach on. Rav Yehuda Omer Mevarech Alezayis, Shazayis Mimin Shiva. He should make the bracha on the olive because it is in the Shiva Minim, and the Chachamim say no, Chaviv is Adif. Now, here, we have Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak who disagreed about the scope of the machlokis between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda. Chad Omar, one of them said, and this is going to be the approach that we've been having up until now, machlokis b'shabir chosei and shavus. that the machlokes between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbanan is only if we're dealing with in the exact same bracha. Rabbi Yehuda savar min shiva adiv, Rabbanan savri min chaviv adiv. That Rabbanan hold, you could choose, and Rabbi Yehuda says, if you have an apple and an olive, in such a case, you got to put the olive first. Avol b'she'em berchosein shavas, this is a critical point. But where the bracha is different, let's say, then in such a case, you could choose and you need to make a bracha on both. And another says, even where the brachos are not the same, so then we also have a machlokis. Rashi points out, don't get stuck over here. And Rashi says, let the Gemara flesh out what exactly would be the machlokis. Kisha ein berchosei and shavos. The Gemara itself is bothered. Bishleim elamandam berchosei berchosei and shavos machlokis shapir. I understand what the machlokis is. If you have a hadama and ha eitz, it's a davar pashut that you can make two different brachos at any order that you want. However, if you say the machlokis is ke ein berchosei and shavos, that even then, Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to do the bracha, the min shiva first. What exactly is the crux of the machlokas? But my plea, what exactly the argument? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya lahaktim. The machlokas is how and if one needs to prioritize. He does a great job in pshat, in Dibar HaMaskel, but my plea, Tosa says the Gemara does not understand what the rationale of Rabbi Yehuda would be to say min shiva goes first if at the end of the day we're talking about two different brachos. If we're talking about a zayis and a tapuach, I understand Rabbi Yehuda says you have to take the zayis and have in mind to be most yotzei the apple. But if we're talking about a eitz and a hadama, how could Rabbi Yehuda tell you to take the zayis first? That won't be motzi the hadama, to which the Gemara it gives the obvious answer, and that is the Gemara says the yisod of hakdama. We've already been brainwashed about this. That not only is there a question of one thing being motzi another, but rather which bracha do you make first, even if it's not motzi the other one. That's the rule of lahakdim. The Amar of Yosef Yitem Rav Yitzchak kol hamukdam bepasuk zeh. Muktam lebracha. Now the Gemara quotes the important pasuk in Parshas Ekev, Shenemar Eretz Chitu Sa'ora V'Gefen U'Se'en of Rimon, Eretz Zeh Shemen U'Devash. When it comes to the order of the pasuk, we're going to discuss what exactly is the order of the pasuk. It could be we don't just simply go in the order of the words, as we'll explain shortly. And the pasuk is not only talking about one type of bracha. For example, we have chita, that either gets a mezonos or a hamotzi, and you have fruits. And then there's also a seder hadvarim. As the Gemara fleshes out, from Rabbi Chanan, we have a different tradition of how to understand the pasuk of Eretz Chita Usa'ora. So the Gemara now is going to go off on a tangent that Rabbi Chanan does not understand the chiddush of the pasuk in terms of giving us the order of brachos. However, and the Gemara will discuss that for about 20 lines. However, this, says the Gemara, is the best way of understanding the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. That Rabbi Yehuda is introducing the idea of kol ha-muktam b'pasuk zeh, that is critical for the choice of lahakdim b'brachos. Upliga de Rabbi Chanan. This whole approach is in disagreement with Rabbi Chanan. Dam Rabbi Chanan. Kol ha-pasuk kulan l'shiurim nema. The entire pasuk is there to tell us different halachos of shiurim. Chita, in regards to bread, disnan, we have a mishnah in Nigoyim. Hanichnis l'bayis hamenuga. Someone goes into a house that has saras. V'kelev al k'seifov, and he has utensils on his shoulders. V'sandolav v'tabasa b'yodav. He and the objects on him are tamei immediately. As a way of introduction, the Torah tells us in Parshas Metzora that those who come into a house, a
of a bayis that has no gas, va'abola bayis yitma al ha'arev. That someone who comes into the house is immediately tame. The Torah also tells us a different expression. Ha'oichal b'gbayis yichabes es b'godov. And one who eats in the house also has to wash his clothing. Chazal are medayek that when it comes to coming into the house, there's no mention of cleansing one's clothing. Yet when one eats, there is a requirement. What's the difference between the two? So Chazal say, the difference is not whether he actually ate or not, but rather the length of time. So if he was in the house, the amount of time it takes to eat, how much one needs to eat, we're going to get to in a moment, the amount of time to eat something, then in such a case, he has to cleanse his clothing as well. However, if he's there for a very short period of time, then there isn't a requirement to cleanse one's clothing. Hence the distinction in the Mishnah, in Negoyim, in Perek, Yud Gimel. And that is, back into our Gemara, Hayulavush Kalo Visandola Biraglov Vitabosa Betzbaosov Hu Tame Miyad. For the things that he's wearing, then he's immediately Tame. And the clothing that is wearing, the Hain Tahor and they are Tahor, Ashi Yishe Bikte Achilas Pras, until he's in the house, as the second pasuk connotates, for the amount of time that it takes for one to eat. What's the shear of that? Paschitin velo pasaorin. The amount of time to eat, and this is what the pasuk is coming to teach us, the amount of time to eat wheat bread as opposed to barley bread. And this, according to Rabbi Chanan, is a chidush of eschita. It's telling us the shear of kezayis bechtei achilas pras, that's the amount of a half a kikar, Rashi explains, that's called the shiur. The Chachamim said is a significant shiur achila, that when the Torah says achila va'ochal b'bayit, yichabe says begadav, it's that length of time. The clothing will only become tameh if he's there for that extent of period of time. The lo pasaorin, and not the shiur of the amount of bread, of a chelos pras, of barley bread. Rashi explains that barley bread takes longer to eat, therefore, we follow, the Gzeres HaKosa tells us, we follow the length of chitin, not the length of sarim. That is what the pasuk is being mechadesh. Mesiv ba'ochlan belifsan, and that's when a person is reclining and eating in a relaxed position, wheat bread, or a half of a pras, that's the shiur of achila. The Gemara goes on and tells us the next shiur in the pasuk. Sa'ora, the chidush of sa'ora. That when the Torah tells us, eretz chito sa'ora, disnan, is telling us something else Rebbe Chanan said. The shiur for another halacha in tuma. And that shiur is known as the rule of esem kisa'ora. Esem kisa'ora is the halacha that a bone that's metame, it can be metame as small as the size of a barley bean. This not as we learn in Meseches Olos. Etzem kisora metame b'magu b'masa ve'ena metame ba'oel. Etzem kisora is metame for touching and carrying, but is not metame when it is in the same ohel. And something else, then the shear is larger. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah says that it will only be metame ba'oel if it has the obvious figure of a human bone. That Rashi says, Aloch l'moshe mi'sinai. Geffen, when the Torah describes Eretz Yisrael as the land of Geffen, it's to teach us the shear of revius yayin l'nazir, that the prohibition for a nazir to drink wine, which will make him chayiv min haTorah, is only a fourth of a lug, the same shear that we have for Kiddush. Te'ena, why does the Torah say te'ena? Eretz chito sara gefen u te'ena. Te'ena is a fig. Kigrogeris, that is well known as the size of a grogeris. Lahotzas Shabbos, that the iser of hotzah and Shabbos is the size of a grogeris. Rimon, a pomegranate kiddushnan, kol kli bale batin shiuran kirimonim. When it comes to Meseches Kalim,
the size of a rimon is very important. Why? Rashi explains at the top of Memalef on the base that if a utensil has a hole the size of a pomegranate, by the way, pomegranates, Baruch Hashem, where Zocha grow next to our house, and here in Eretz Yisrael they grow really quite large. If a utensil has a hole the size of a rimon, so then in such a case, the keli loses its identity. Let's say it's a pitcher. It loses its identity as a pitcher if it has the size of a rimon, and the nafkamina is that it will not contract tumma, since in order to contract tumma, there needs to be a chashivus, it needs to be a kli. Eretz Shemen. So what is the chidush when the Torah says Eretz Shemen, according to Rabbi Chanan? Amar Rabbi Yisro Chanina, Eretz Shekol Shiurea Kizesin. That a land that all of its measurements are seen through the perspective of olives. Asking Mara Kol Shiurea Sagadaitach, Vayikar Hanach Damran. But we just got through saying a bunch of others, at least five, that don't have that shiur. We don't measure it by an olive. When it comes to Caleb, the whole we measure by the size of pomegranate. El answers the Gemara, Eretz Sherov Shiuret Kizesim. A land that the majority of its Shiurim, its measurements, are measured by an olive. Dvash Kikoseves Hagasa B'Yom HaKippurim. It says Dvash of dates, that's referring to the size of a large date, which is the prohibition of Achila on Yom HaKippurim. Period. What we have, therefore, are two opinions of how to understand the pasuk of Eretz Chita Usaora Gefen Seina Urimon. Rabbi Yitzchak understood that the Torah is giving us the order of Kedima of Brachos, while Rabbi Chanan understood that the Torah was telling us special Shiurim. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, how are we going to learn these Shiurim? Answers the Gemara, Hani Shurim Behedya Miksivi? Are these Shurim explicit in the Torah? Ella, what would Rabbi Yitzchak say? Midrabanan, it's a Midrabanan who cross Machta Ba'alma. And the Pasuk is simply an Asmachta, and the primary teaching of the Pasuk is Kedima Bibrach. The Gemara continues 8 lines from the top of Mimalas on Bezer. Chizdav Ramnuna have a Yasubi Sudasa. They were sitting in a Suda. Isla Kamayu Tamri Virimoni. A date and a pomegranate came in front of them. Shok Rav Amnuna took Baruch Atamri Bereisha, and he blessed, made a bracha first on the dates. Rav Chizda asked an important question. That the Torah tells us the order of brachos and what appears first. So it says, Eretz Chita Usaora, Gefen Seina V'Rimon. First you come in contact with the Rimon when you read the Pasuk straight, and then you have Eretz Shemen Alevu Devash. Devash is a Tamar. So what should you have done first? The Rimon is number 5, the Tamar is number 7. The answer that Rav Amnuna gave is extremely important and is the Halacha as well. Amar Lei, Rav Amnuna answered, Zesheni L'Oretz, the Torah says the word Eretz twice. Eretz Chita V'Saora, etc. And then Eretz Shemen U'Devash. The order, says Rav Amnuna, is not simply following the order of the Pasuk. Whatever is closer to the word Eretz gets preference. Therefore, since the word Devash is only once removed from the second time that the Torah says Eretz in the Pasuk, Eretz Zei Shemen Udevash, and Rimon is 5 steps removed from the Eretz Chit of a Seora, so therefore the Dvash gets the bracha first, the Tamar gets the first bracha. Amar Lei Rav Chizda loved the answer, and he exclaimed, Man Yovla Nagre de Parizala, who will give us of steel, Vinashmi Yenecha, that we should always follow you and hear your beautiful Torah. The Gemara continues 12 lines to the top. Itmar Yviu Lefneim Te'enim Va'anov Misocha Su'uda. There were figs and grapes that were brought within the Su'uda. Amar Rav Huna Tunim Bracha Lefneim Ve'en Tunim Bracha L'Achareim. They don't get a Bracha Achrona. V'chein Amar Rav Nachman Tunim Bracha Lefneim Ve'en Tunim Bracha
l'achareyem. Author of Nachman echoed this psak. Notice that these fruits were brought b'toch ha-se'uda. Hence, since the person is benching, there is no need for a separate bracha achrona. Rav Sheshes disagreed. Rav Sheshes amar tunin bracha ben lefnei ben achareyem. She'en lecha dover, she'ton bracha lefanav, ve'ein ton bracha l'acharav. There is no such food that needs a bracha beforehand in this case, according to Rav Huna, since these fruits, the grapes, figs, are not there just to simply add bread, but have standing on their own, and they are a bracha b'soch ha-se'uda, hence they require a bracha lifnehem. Rav Sheshes argues, then you will never have something that's so chashuv that even though it came with bread, since it has its own standing, and it's not l'lafis es apas, and it's not nigrar after the su'udah, not dragged after the su'udah, that will not also require a bracha achrona. She'en l'chadov sh'tom bracha l'fanav, ve'en tom bracha l'acharav, elo pas ha'kisnim bilvad. The one exception is pas ha'bog the kisnim. Pas ha'bog the kisnim is a humongous sugya. However, for our purposes right now in pshat, it is a baked item that is eaten as achilas arai, as a temporary achila, and therefore does not get a separate bracha achrona. So according to Rav Sheshes, we learned that when you make a bracha, because they're chashe by themselves, you also make a bracha achrona, while Rav Huna says you do not make a bracha achrona. The Gemara says that this opinion of Rav Sheshes and this above discussion is entirely in disagreement with Rabbi Chiya. Upliga de Rabbi Chiya, and we pass like Rabbi Chiya, the Amr Rabbi Chiya, pas poteres komine machol, v'yayin poter komine mashkin. Bread exempts a bracha for all other foods, and wine exempts for all other drinks. Rav Papa qualifies this statement of Rabbi Chiya. Amr Rav Papa, hilchas ha'alach is dvar ma'ba machmas ha'suda b'soch ha'suda, ain't doing bracha lo lefnei v'lo l'achareyem. If it's related to the meal, it's dvarim haboim machmas ha-suda, due to the suda. Rashi says, lafos behenes ha-pas. So then in such a case, it's need a bracha before or after. V'shelo machmas ha-suda, v'soch ha-suda tom bracha lefneihem, v'ein tunim bracha l'achareyem. It gets a bracha beforehand. If it's not there, the lafos is ha-pas. However, we pass like Rav Huna, who says that doesn't get a bracha afterwards. La'achar ha-suda, if it's brought as separate independent dessert, tonim bracha ben lefnehem ben la'achareim. It requires a bracha both before and after. The Gemara continues, five lines about Mimal from Beis, Shalu es ben Zoma, Mipnei ma amru, Dvarim ha-ba ma'ach ha-suda, v'sal ha-suda, enim ton bracha lo lefnehem lo lefnehem. What's the reason that something that's coming due to the su'uda doesn't get a bracha neither before or after? Amalahem ho la paspat rasan. He says, since the bread exempts it, so it's included in that bracha. The bracha on bread is an all-encompassing bracha, and it includes anything that comes mitoch ha-su'uda. That was Ben Zoma's response. Says Gemara, what is interesting here is that some learn this is not the Gemara, but actually is a continuation of this brisa of Ben Zoma. Ihachi yainami niftere pas. If pas includes everything, so then it should exempt the wine as well. So Ben Zoma, according to some, according to Riff and others, Ben Zoma is responding, shani yayin degorim bracha la'atzmo. Yayin is different that it causes its own bracha for itself. Rashi, it's a strange expression. To go in bracha la'atzma, Rashi explains in the top men beis amid aleph that we see that you make a bracha on it even if you didn't want to necessarily drink it. Rashi over here is very cryptic what go in bracha la'atzma means. Take a look at Rashi on mem amid beis where he spells it out. Rashi adds the words b'kiddush u'ba'avdalo b'berches chasanim, that we see that wine has its own chashivus, that we signify and dignify wine through Kiddush Avdala and Berchas Chasanim for Sheva Brachas, and for that reason, Pas, which is also a Chashav Bracha, is not Chashav enough to exempt the Bracha on wine. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the Daf component of Daf, Mem Aleph. We now go Be'ezer Hashem to the Halacha. Our first set of Halachas from Daf Mem Aleph are emerges from the lines towards the bottom of Malaf on the base, about 10 lines from the bottom, Yayin Poiter Kol Minei Mashkim. Now, if one read the Gemara and simply the psak of the Rishonim, one may misinterpret this halacha. Again, the Gemara says that if one makes a bari pri hagafen, then one does not need to make a bracha on any other drinks. Parallel to the halacha, that anything that's b'metoch ha'suda, once you made a bracha on pas, which is the paradigm of suda, is also putter. So the paradigm of drink is wine, and wine exempts everything. However, one should know the following caveat. Number one, the Mishnah Brura in Simin Kuf Ayin Dalad Siv Gimel quotes the Taz that says that this is only applies to drinks that were in front of the person at the time that he made the bracha. Number two, there are some Rishonim, the Rajba is quoted by the Chaye Adam as having that position, that you have to drink the wine bikvius. In other words, that one of the primary purposes that you sat down to drink was to drink the wine. Then the wine is chashuv enough for one to be motzi. The Mishnah Brura in Kuf Ayin Dalet Gimel over there is not really choshesh v'shitas HaRashba, but should be there for the record. Number three, and this is something very important, it's raised by the Be'er Halacha in the beginning of Simin Kuf Ayin Dalet, and that is that if a person drinks only a little bit of wine, if he has a taste of wine, and he doesn't drink it revius, then in such case, according to most, there is a day in the Be'er Halacha that doesn't follow this, but according to most, and this is how Rav Yashiv presented it in his Shiurim, this could be found in Shiurei Rav Yashiv, that one would not be poter, shar mashkim, by making a bari pri hagafen on a little bit of wine. Hence, number one, we should know the halacha that wine exempts the other mashkin. On the other hand, we should know that there are three rules, two of them that are liba de hilchas. So number one, that the drinks have to be in front for it to be exempt. And number two, you have to have drunk a revir. Another interesting point that Rav Yashiv made in his shiurim is he held that this halacha, and this will be nafutz, common halacha lemaisa, that this halacha that yayin's poiter kol minei mashkim does not apply every time you make the bari pri hagafen. And that is, he felt that for grape juice, then the rule of yayin poiter kol minei mashkim would not apply. And he claimed that the Rishonim emphasized that the reason why yayin's poiter is because it's rosh l'chol minei mashkim and it's ikur mashkim. The Gemara on Lamed Hem Bei says that yayin is different than zayis, than oil, and it gets its own bracha because it's misameach. However, when it comes to grape juice, even though it's considered within the min of wine because it has the potential to ferment, and it still gets a bracha of bore pri hagafen, however, nevertheless, it doesn't have that level of chashivus, and it could very well be one cannot apply the rule Yayin Poter is Hamashkin, and therefore, as quoted in these Shiurim, Rav Yashiv suggested ultimately he sort of hedged his bets. He starts out going in that direction, and then he says that one should try to make a shahakol on something else and have in mind, because he had a suffix of adipaskin, but he was noted towards the side that grape juice has a different status. Rav Ben Sion Cook, who was the substitute for Rav Yashiv Zatzal when he was sick, who put out the Shiurim of Rav Yashiv, adds a beautiful point and brings the two shitas together that we had mentioned in the Be'er Halacha with this point in regards to grape juice. Everybody agrees that when it comes to an individual who drinks wine less than a revius, that he makes a bari pri hagafen. Nevertheless, most poskim hold, and this is how we mentioned earlier, that we paskin, that if you drink less than a revius, it doesn't exempt other drinks. Why? Because there's something lacking in its chashivus. It's been accepted amongst the poskim that grape juice gets a bari pri hagafen. However, as evident from the fact that the Gemara says that Yayin is unique because it's mesameach. Grape juice, okay, it's within the min, but clearly what makes Yayin choshev is its feature mesameach. The fact that it gets a Baruch Priya Goffin is not enough to be poter the mashkin, and I'll prove it to you, says Rav Ben Zion Cook in the name of his friend, Rav Diskin. Because if you drink less than a revius, then it doesn't exempt other drinks. Similarly, Rav Yashuv's Talmidim follow this idea that grape juice, a Baruch Priya Goffin, will not exempt other drinks. Our first topic was in regards to Yayin exempting Mashke. Let's go to the other rule in the Gemara Mem Aleph of Beis, and that is Pas exempting all other Ocha. Is this rule absolute? Every time a person has Pas, and then as Dvarim HaBoy Machmas Asud, of course our Gemara said things that are not normal to be eaten in the meal in such a case are not exempt in Pas. However, those things are normal. Definitely what would be included. So let's see, for example, a vegetable salad, that is very normal to eat inside of the meal, and therefore you not make a bracha. A fruit salad, that depends whether that would be normal or not. But let's talk about a vegetable salad. It is important to note the shita of the Mishnah Brura, which Rav Chaim Kanievsky pointed out that is not so mukhrach from our Gemara, but nevertheless, it's the shita of the great Chafetz Chaim. In Simin Kufayin Zayin Sif Katan Gimel, the Mishnah Brura writes, Misha ena chafetz lechol pas, va'ochel mimenu rak, if you're washing only in order to no longer have to make a bracha, it could be washing so simply not to get out of making other brachos might not work at all, says the Mishnah Brura. De lo shaykh lo omer shem nitfal in the past. You cannot say that they're tafel to the past. Given shloye chavetz b'achilasa, you didn't really want to eat it. By the way, on Shabbos, so there, the Torah wants you to eat it. So then, even if a person not so excited about eating bread, in such a case, that would presumably be pate pas. Even if you're not so excited, the pas will exempt the other things. However, during the week, if it's lo yechavitz be'achilasa, says the Chavetz Chaim, we don't say it. The chashivus of the pas is related to its achila, as we spoke about in the previous segment, in regards to shtiyas yayin. That's number one. Number two, says the Mishnah Brura, the kol sheken kisha achal pas rak pachos mikizayis. And certainly, if you eat less than a kizayis of bread, then certainly it does not exempted. So therefore, Rabosai, according to the Mishnah Brura, what emerges is that when a person eats a su'uda and he eats pas, he should make sure that he has kezayis. The Mishnah Brura goes on, Valkein, Tov Yoser, Shivarech al Shazvar, Mabrocha Ruilem, Yechol Paschal. If you're going to eat less than a kezayis, better not to drink it, at all. And then he adds, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if there's a mitzvah to eat a kezayis of pas, so then certainly everything is tafel. This, number one, are two important exceptions to the rule of hapas poter. The Chashuchei Chemet, Rav Zilberstein, asks a fascinating shaila which might or might not relate to these two points of the Mishnah Brura. Before we discuss his shaila, I should also mention that Rav Zilberstein, in the discussion, says that Rav Chaim Kanievsky is not, his brother-in-law, is not at all convinced that the Mishnah Brura is mukhrach from our Gemara. Our Gemara says that pas is poter. The Gemara doesn't give us the shear. The Gemara doesn't tell us how much. So therefore, one could say that it's simply the shivas of the bracha that exempts it. However, we saw that does not apply to yayin, and it could very well be. The Mishnah Brura's position is it doesn't apply to bread as well. Now to an interesting shaila, which is also often common. What happens if you have an individual who washed, and he intended to eat a kezayis of bread, and then what happened? His wife said, honey, I need you to watch the kids. please finish up eating, and I need your help in 4 minutes. And then he's got other things in his meal. He's only got 4 minutes to go, and he's got his salad. He'd prefer his salad than eating the kezayis of bread. Now, he's got the following question. He hasn't eaten a kezayis, and he doesn't have enough time to eat a kezayis. Does he now make a bracha on the salad? Originally, he was planning to have a kezayis of bread, and then eat the salad without a bracha. But now, he's going to eat the salad without a kezayis. What would the halacha be, according to the Mishnah Berurah? So here, Rav Zilberstein leaves off with an open suffix. On the one hand, the Mishnah Berurah clearly says that you do need to make a borei pri adama. On the other hand, this is not exactly the same case as the Mishnah Berurah's. Because the Mishnah Berurah was talking about a case of an individual who, in the beginning, when he made the bracha of hamotzi, did not intend to have an achila chashuva. Hence, the bracha itself is not chashuv enough to exempt. However, where he intended to eat a kezayis, he leaves open the question, maybe the halacha would be different. Sarich iun, ad kan bezer Hashem, the halacha topic from Daf Men Aleph, with the clear halacha, as well as the fascinating sveikos of today's poskim.